Blog Talk Radio.
Well, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. I am delighted to be back amongst you once again. Welcome to Valerie Welch Ministries. Yes, I have been away once again, but God is still good. Amen, amen, hallelujah. So you know how we do it. Before we get started, let us petition the throne of grace. Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that has gone before me. I thank you, Lord God, for illuminating the scriptures, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that the scriptures, Father God, and the word and the spirit of the living God pierces someone's heart, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Elevate someone's mind, Father God. Give someone a peace that surpasses all understanding. Deliver someone, oh God, from a negative mindset. Lord, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus for your word. I thank you for your son, Jesus, who died on the cross, giving us a second chance at eternal life. I thank you, Lord God, for my listeners, Father God, that are those that are listening live and those that will listen to the downloaded message. Father, bless them indeed. Father, I pray that this message, Father God, will edify them and build them up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and we bless God. Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters, tonight the message is entitled, The Place Called There. The Place Called There. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Kings. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 10. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 10. And I'll read it as thus. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. Verse 7 says, And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. And behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Hallelujah. This place called there. Oftentimes, men and women of God, we have a false ideology that being God's children means we're supposed to be comfortable. Yes, we're supposed to have some trials, but not very much, we think. And please let them not be very severe. Somewhere deep down, we resent the trouble that constantly presents itself. It's always one thing after the other. When will it let up, we say? When will the standard that God talks about be raised? When will Jesus return to get me out of this place? Some of us think these things, and we're asking, Lord, why? Why? Why have I had to endure so much? Why? Because there is a place called there that God is trying to get us to. It's a place that really doesn't have a good reputation. This place here causes us to be very uncomfortable. It causes us to have to totally and completely rely on God the Father. This means he strips us of the things that we use to make our own selves comfortable. Sometimes there's a job loss. Sometimes there we have to move. There's a house loss. Sometimes there's an infirmity in the body. Sometimes God causes flesh and spirit to stand opposed and to look at one another, and God allows us to see the stinking, rotting flesh that he can't even look upon. That's why he had to give us his son Jesus. The place called there causes us to look at ourselves in the mirror. Not only that, it causes us to be moved out of our comfort zone. The place called there is a place where God temporarily allows us to see who we really are apart from him. And what? Guess what we see when we look at ourselves? When we step back and look at ourselves, we see someone that's dirty. Flesh is dirty. If you didn't know that, my brothers and sisters, if I'm listening to a new person in the kingdom, if I'm teaching to someone that is just getting into the kingdom, let me take you back a little minute. Flesh, there's nothing good about flesh. Flesh has a stench to God. Flesh is unholy. And flesh constantly needs something to intercept and to intercede on its behalf. Flesh has its own agenda. This is why God gave us the Holy Spirit to dwell where? Inside of us. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to have rule and reign, this is what keeps our flesh under subjection. Because otherwise, we will be turned over very quickly to what God says is a reprobate mind. That means that we've been given over what? Unto ourselves. We've been given over to the flesh. But thank God we're not there. But when we talk about this place called there, it's a place of discomfort. That's what this place is. And not only, as I'll reiterate again, it's a place where flesh meets spirit. And God allows spirit to stand outside of itself, and it causes flesh and spirit to meet. And when it meets, it causes us to be discomforted. It causes us to be uncomfortable because we don't like what we see. Come on, Holy Ghost. We don't like what we see because we have been going on and we've been moving on. But guess what? We were not set. We've been moving on our own accord. We've moved on our own volition. We've moved according to how we felt about something, but not according to the regulations that God has established. Do you hear what I'm saying? When we finally stop moving, and God has shipped us of everything. He's shipped us of pride. He's shipped us of material things. He's shipped us of all of these external factors that have put a barrier between God and us. And finally, when we sit still, we don't like what we see. When we run out of all the tricks and we run out of all the trades that we can come up with, because some of us are very gifted and some of us are very talented, but there comes a time that you're not going to have those gifts and those talents as sharp as they were before when we are going according to our own natural abilities. God, in that place called there, shows us who we are apart from him. When he allows the hedge of protection to just be moved for just a little while, and we're able to feel the fiery furnace, we can feel the heat of life bearing down our neck like a two-barrel shotgun ready to take us out of here. That's how hot the heat can get sometimes. And we're looking around and we're saying, God, where are you? I need you. And God is basically saying, I'm right here. But I'm trying to get you to a place called there. Because if I never allowed you to go to the place called there, you would think that it's all you. You would think that everything that you've accomplished, everything that you've done, succeeded at, and even failed at, was all you. But I've been here the entire time, but you never consulted me. And then even when you consulted me, you didn't stay long enough in my presence to get the real answer. Your flesh answered first who was speaking the loudest. Let me give you a little nugget right here, my brothers and sisters. When you hear something that's speaking the loudest, it's usually probably not God. When our flesh is not under subjection, completely and totally unto God, flesh will speak up first. Flesh will speak the loudest. Flesh will give you an answer. Because guess what we must do in the Holy Spirit and God? We must bask in his presence. We must praise and worship him. We must sit there and listen for the voice of the Lord. Anything that speaks loudly and quickly, usually, most likely, I'm going to say 99% of the time is not God. So what has happened is we've been led down a road that now that we're in the place called there, and we're looking around and we're saying, how did we get here? Yes, leadership. Apostles, pastors, teachers, prophets, evangelists, apostles. Yes, we do have a place called there. We do have that season. Do you need to be reminded that there is, according to Ecclesiastes, a time and place for everything under the sun? So we are not above being in the place called there. Did you hear the scripture that I just read? We're talking about Isaiah, an anointed prophet of God, who rained down fire on wet logs that were drenched and brought down the fire of God to show Jezebel and Ahab who our God is. But in the next scene, you see God telling them, I need you to go and get up from this place. And matter of fact, I'm going to dry it up so to make sure you leave. Come on, somebody. Who am I talking to? So in case you have any questions about what I need you to do, let me dry this brook up. And I'm going to tell you to go to another place. And actually, when I tell you to go to that place, it's not to somebody's bed. It's not to somebody's comfortable house. I'm telling you to go by a brook and be fed by ravens, which are dirty birds. Come on, somebody. God is trying to get us to a place that our thoughts are not his thoughts and our ways are not his ways. So who said that God told us that everything, because we're his children, is going to be what? Comfortable. Comfortable. God is trying to get us to a place called there. And the place called there is an uncomfortable season. The place called there is a place that people do not want to go to. Matter of fact, they say, God, please don't allow me to go through that. Don't allow me to have that season. Don't allow me to go from a bed to a brook. Don't allow me to go from a nice house to a shack. Don't allow me to go from a car to a bus. Don't allow my children to act up. Don't allow it, God. But God is saying, I need to get you to a place called there, because, see, now, if Isaiah had refused to go to the place called there, there were ramifications in the spirit. He was hungry and he was thirsty. God had it set up that if you just be obedient, that I have it already set up, a widow woman that's there waiting on you. I've already given her instructions to told her what to do for you. But because we're trying to think in our finite minds, we're saying, I don't have any money. I don't have anything to my name, and you're telling me to get up and go? You're telling me to get up and move? But there's ramifications for us wrestling around what God is saying in our minds. There's ramifications, my brothers and sisters, because guess what? If he had not moved, he would not have his thirst quenched. If he had not moved, God was trying to get the man to a place to bless the widow woman. But if he had not moved, see, it's not always about us. The place called there is not always about us. God is using the place called there when he talks about taking us from glory to glory to glory. God is using the place called there to refine, to prune, to establish obedience. To move, when I say move, just like when we tell our children, our sons and our daughters, I need you to come the first time I call you. Because if I have to call you a second time, you could just be hit by a car or a bus. There's danger lying ahead. Don't ask any questions. I need you to move the first time. And after your life is saved and preserved, I'll give you why I said move. I had to tell my son that the other day. This is why God is saying, move. I don't need you to ask me why. I don't need you to ask me where I'm going. If I say get up and go, get up and go. That's what I'm telling you to do. The place called there. Many of our leaders, many of our historical leaders had a place called there. We all know David. David had a place called there. David was the king of that country. David was the king. He was the man. And he decided, not God, but he decided, well, I'm the king. I want this woman. I want Uriah's wife. Now allow me to put him, not allow. I'm going to put him on the front line, have him killed, and take this woman for my wife. Now, in the natural, it would seem like, you know what, the king can do what he wants to do, but guess what? God sent a prophet to let David know, who do you think you are? I'm taking you to a place called there because of your disobedience. David went through it, but guess what? There were ramifications in his own bloodline. God didn't kill him, but there was ramifications in his own bloodline. When God is saying, I need you to go to a place called there. And when we get out of line, God will show up and remind us, I don't care what title you have, I'm still supreme. I'm still all sovereign. I am still your God. I'm still your father. Don't despise, my brothers and sisters, this place called there. Don't despise it. Don't despise it. Because flesh and blood cannot enter in. God is trying to purge. God is trying to prune. God is trying to get to us to a place where it doesn't matter, come what may. I'm going to serve you, God, the place called there. Oh, my God. Did not Paul, when God talks about, when we talk about, in the Bible, when the scriptures tell us our ways are not his ways and our thoughts are not his thoughts, did not Paul, who was originally Saul first until God changed his name, did not he think he was doing God a favor? Didn't he not think he was right when he was going and persecuting Christians? Did he not think that he was doing the right thing until he what? Had a place called their encounter and God blinded him to show him the error of his ways. The place called there. We need to thank God for the place called there. That means God is trying to turn a situation. God is trying to turn us from the way we are going to another direction. God turned Saul to Paul. God turned his mindset and realized that I'm going about it the wrong way. Though I have a zeal, I had no knowledge. This is why the Bible tells us it's a dangerous thing to have zeal but no knowledge. Paul had zeal, but he did not have the wisdom and the knowledge to know that what he was doing was destructive, my brothers and sisters. Come on, somebody. If God is taking us to the place called there, allow him to have his way. Allow him to purge. Allow him to prune, to prune us. After all, we don't have all the answers. This place called there was not foreign to our ancestors. This place called there was not foreign to Noah. It wasn't foreign to Moses. It wasn't foreign to Solomon. It wasn't foreign to Isaiah. It wasn't foreign to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It wasn't foreign to Paul. It wasn't foreign to Jonah. Now we're not talking about those that went, but then they started going astray, or they started going the wrong way. There are those that didn't want to go at all. Jonah did not want to go. But my brothers and sisters, please hear me in the Holy Ghost. Jonah is a prime example that when God has called you, when God has put a mandate on your life, I don't care how many years you run, I don't care how many years you try to get away, he's going to arrest you. Sometimes we may not like it. Most of the time, I would say, we're not going to like the way that he arrests us to get our attention. Look, I called you from your mother's womb. Look, I predestined you from the foundations of the earth. Look, I need you. There's a set of people that I need you to help and deliver and speak to. Come on, somebody. Jonah had a work to do. And God caused him to be in the belly of a whale, to get his attention? Where has God taken us of us to get our attention? Because there's a call on your life. If you're listening to me at the sound of my voice, there's a place called there. That if you have not been there, God will eventually get you there to understand there's a call, there's a mandate, there's a cry in the spirit for what's on the inside of you. What's on the inside of you is necessary for this latter time, for the latter rain, for this last dispensation when God, before Jesus returns, and God returns to manifest their majesty, to reclaim the earth that he created. My brothers and sisters, hear me in the Holy Ghost. Our ways are not his ways, and our thoughts are not his thoughts. Come on, somebody. I need you to hear me in the Holy Ghost. No matter who we think we are, God will always remind us, apart from the source, we are as filthy rags. The place called there causes us to face self. When we face self, sometimes it's an ugly sight. This place will call flesh having a straight-up fit, a pity party sometimes, if you will, because things haven't gone our way, because things are not adding up like we thought they should add up. Come on now, my brothers and sisters, our ways are not his. He causes us to realize that we've been off the beaten path. He didn't say, just like Isaiah, the scripture I read, how he didn't just stay there when God dried up the brook. The Bible tells us that immediately he got up and God told him, I need you to go to Zarephath. He got up and went. He didn't say, God, why? He didn't say, what's going on? He got up and went. But some of us, we get there and we say, my God, he done dried up the brook. I've lost my job. I've lost some things. I just don't know what's going on. God, you've dried it up. And sometimes we stay there in a pity party. Sometimes our husband left, our wife left, there's a divorce going on. And whatever it is that was snatched from us, some of us get stuck there. I'm coming by to encourage you today. I'm coming to encourage your spirit man this morning to rise up. Because God has need of thee. I'm decreeing and declaring over your life today, God has a need of you. Rise up, my brothers and sisters, and take off the chains that have bound you for so long. Take them off, because time is winding up. Do you hear what I'm saying, my brothers and sisters? Come on, somebody. Hear me in the Holy Ghost. Did not Saul, before God changed his name, think he was justified in doing what he was doing? Sometimes we think we are justified in not going. Sometimes we think, oh, well, I'm not qualified. However, Moses thought the same way. So God sent him out by twos. He sent Moses and Aaron. Come on now. Then we hear, oh, I don't have enough money. Well, when was it ever a prerequisite? God, you said, just go. He said, whom I call, I qualify. Did Isaiah have money? Did he have food? He got up and went, and God met him with the widow woman. And then the ramification, the widow woman, she only had a little bit. But then she was obedient and gave unto the prophet before she even gave unto herself, and God blessed. We've got to learn. We hear about the laws of attraction, and everybody's trying to hear the laws of attraction. The single women and the single men hearing the laws of attraction. Well, we're going back to the Bible. Let's understand what the laws of attraction are. But there are also laws when it comes to obedience. There are also spiritual laws that come into place when God requires obedience. He said obedience is better than what? Sacrifice. When we talk about sacrifice, we have no idea the magnitude of what it means to sacrifice your only son or your only daughter on a cross, to put nails in his hands or her feet with a crown of thorns on their head, beat it, whipped, spit upon. What sacrifice? What sacrifice have we done to the magnitude of that? Can you imagine putting your only son or your only daughter on a cross to die for other people? What sacrifice that even comes close to that magnitude? Come on, somebody. Let's get real about this thing. Let's get real about this thing. I'm not saying that every day is Sunday for us. I'm not saying that every day that we're happy. I'm not saying that every day is a good day. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that when you're in the place God called there, it's a good place. That means that God is trying to change something. That means God is trying to give us a 360-degree mindset. The place called there. Oh, pastor, oh, apostle, oh, teacher, who in this season is wondering, how did I get here? Even some lay members, I've been going to church all my life. How did I get here to this place called there? How did I get so consumed with my own agenda that I miss God? How in all my piety, my righteousness, how did all these people miss God? But did God not say, before I close, did God not say in the 23rd Psalm that he would lead us beside the still waters, that he would restore our souls, that he would lead us into a path of righteousness? He said, yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. This place called there is similar to a death, but God is just letting you know it's just a shadow. He's saying, according to him, it's just a light affliction of what it feels to have the glory depart. Come on, somebody. It's a death-like walk. It's a death-like experience in this place called there. Sometimes we become mortified or petrified, shaken. Every fire of our being that can be shook will be shaken in this place. But we shall find again our true purpose and our true destiny. Our true life, not just mere existence. Come on, my brothers and sisters. The Bible tells us that he came to give us life and life more abundantly, not just to exist, my brothers and sisters. Don't let the enemy trick you that you missed the mark. Don't let him convince you that all you accomplished and did was for naught. Come on now, I command your spirit to come out of self-pity, to come out of self-sabotage. I command you to rise up this day. This day, my brothers and sisters, God has called you. God has a work for you to do. God has called your name. God has called you to a place higher than where you currently are. God has called you to a place higher in the spirit realm. He wants you to get to a place where you're looking down upon your problems. You're speaking to the mountains and you're walking through with authority. The place called there is that place where God changes things. Whatever's going on in your family, whatever's going on in your life, whatever's going on your job, whatever's going on in your finances, place called there is a good place. Allow God to change you. Allow God to mold us. Allow God to strip us. This place called there is a good place. 30 seconds, I thank you. And I'm praying for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your wisdom this hour. We thank you for the anointing of the oil. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that has graced our presence today. Thank you, oh God, for your children that are eating bread, that are no longer eating milk, no longer drinking milk, but now they are eating sustenance, their own meat, God. I thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, for the place called there in their lives. They're coming through because you said we're overcomers. I'm coming through and we're coming out. And I thank you, Lord God, into next week, they are overcomers in the place called there. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen, amen, and we bless God. Hallelujah, Jesus, I bless your name. I bless your name for every man and every woman that's on this line right now for the place called there. The place called there is not to condemn you. The place called there is not to strip you. The place called there is not to get you to live beneath your privilege. The place called there is the place where God changes your name in the spirit realm. You are no longer Mickey, you're Michael. You are no longer Jimmy, you are James. You are no longer what they called you in your past. God changed your name a long time ago, but it's now time for you to walk in it. It's now time for you to walk in it, because the place called there is a newness. What we don't understand that something, before I close, let me remind you, God, thank you, Holy Ghost. The number 8 is the number of new beginnings. Many of us Bible scholars, many of us know, or even heard it in our churches, that the number 8 is the number of new beginnings. But guess what? We don't really contemplate and really consider the fact that in order to have a new beginning, something else has to end. Something has to end. Something has to change. Something has to dry up before you have a new beginning. My brothers and sisters, so allow God to have the new beginning in your life. Don't worry about that which is no longer. Don't worry about that which is dried up. Don't worry about that which God has allowed to be taken as snacks because you are too consumed with it. Come on, Holy Ghost. You are too consumed with it. So God had to allow it to temporarily, because I'll say temporarily, temporarily to be moved. For him to get your attention. Now that God has you in the place called there, let him work. Let him change your name, your new walk, your new talk, your new attitude, a new boldness, a new courage, all that you didn't have in the past. Allow God to do it in the place called there. Shat Toro Shia. I decree it and declare it over your life. I'm sorry, my brothers and sisters. I'm passionate. I don't like people to live beneath their privilege. Not when we have the book. Not when God gave us instructions. So allow God to have his perfect work. And we'll meet again, same time, same place, next week. And I look forward to meeting you there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.